After lunch, the rain stopped for a while, and Gunnar chivied the men into a walk along the shore, past the orange squares of fish pens. Here, with the distractions of uneven footing and a breeze freshening into a blustery wind, Basil and Caim were less inclined to quarrel. Caim opened his mind, like the net of a fisherman, spilling a mixed lot of information which Gunnar knew he and Basil would pick over at leisure. By dinner time, when the wind had blown the clouds south for a time, Caim was clearly enjoying the once-hated planet. Gunnar himself wanted nothing more than to be back aboard one of the Tarakian family's ships, preferably one with the new decryption algorithms that could intercept transmissions via the financial ansibles. He tried to settle calmly to the after-dinner word games, but he couldn't concentrate. After the third time that Caim crossed his entry with a 10-point bonus, he gave up.
I'm fast. I'm going to bed.
To bed? It's not that late.
I know, but I am that tired.
Gunnar climbed the stairs to his tower room. Basil undoubtedly knew what he was going to do and could be counted on to keep Caim out of the way. The problem was that no security system could really keep his communications clean, not down here. He opened a line to the family headquarters on Kaskadar, requested a data dump of the past 2 days of market reports, and told the duty operator he'd be in the next day to put something in the batch for the Ansible.
By midday local, sir. It goes off at 1300, and we have to have all the data encrypted.
I'll be there by 1000.
When Basil came up hours later, Gunnar was still picking through the data dump.
I thought you were fuzzed.
I am, but I'm also worried. There's something going on with the Consulines. Look at this.
Not now. In the morning. I had to ply Caim with more brandy to keep him downstairs. And if I don't sleep now, I'll be very sorry in the morning.
You'll be sorry longer if you don't look at this. I'm serious, Baz. Something's going on, and it's big. Look at the fluctuations in the rejuve index.
It's been volatile ever since the Patchcock mess. Took it 6 months to recover at all. And every little rumor shakes it like a wind chime.
So quit talking and look.
What about the raw...
Over the top.
Gunnar shuffled through the pile to find what he wanted.
I can't be sure without getting a hook in one of the big lines, but... I bet that's from the Consuline plants. They're the only single source big enough to draw those resources this fast.
And they'd lost market share. And... damn, cuz. I wish we could access the employment figures.
So... we tell...
the fathers. And we don't tell Caim. I'm preparing an Ansible load for tomorrow.
Today? What time does it have to be in? You want help?
Just keep Caim out of my way.
Gunnar's line of command ran through Basil's father, not his own, typical of the Tarakian family's organization. So he was surprised when the next message came from his father.
Gunnar, tell Basil to keep Caim on planet another 48 hours without fail. Then get yourself on the next shuttle up.
As God wills.
The family's code for what's going on.
In his grace.
And his father signed off. So he had put his finger on the lion's eyelid. Well, now to convince Basil to trap Caim and let him run off. The shuttle ride to the orbital station seemed to take forever, though he knew it was the standard flight time. When he arrived, he went directly to the Tarakian shipping offices, where staff were bustling around as if a ship were arriving.
Who's coming?
We just got word by Ansible. Flavor is on her way through. Fast transit with something urgent. If you want a lift, I'm sure they'll have room for you.
Favored of God, nicknamed Flavor, was the Tarakian's fast courier, and the family's most advanced recon vessel, loaded with the best scan equipment money or influence or trickery could obtain.
There she is.
A bright splash on the screen meant something had come through the jump point at max V, and the color shift meant she was making a dangerously fast approach. So whatever it was, the fathers were willing to let everyone know they had some urgent chore in hand. Usually, Tarakian ships moved in the same stately arcs as any other commercial carrier, never showing all their capacity unless they ran into trouble.
What's his ETA?
At this rate? Under 20 hours.
20 hours? So why did my father tell me to leave downside immediately? So
I would be gone before word of Flavor's arrival got to the surface? So perhaps Kaim wouldn't connect the two? So there would be no transmissions to the surface which Kaim might intercept?
While the station had a perfectly comfortable lodging house for transients, and he had more than enough credit to use it, he knew, without even asking, that his father expected him to stay in the office, in the off-duty bunk room for low-level staff, with its hard, narrow beds.
I'm going over to Spotted Lamb for lunch, if anyone wants me.
He was almost through with dessert, honeyed figs stuffed with chopped bitsai nuts, when the call came. A tight-beamed packet for him from Flavor. Adhem, the office manager, gave him a look, which Gunnar had no trouble interpreting. He wasn't that senior in the family. He was just another of the young men moving up through the ranks. So why was he suddenly in the office at just the right time for the appearance of Flavor on a fast run, and why was he getting this packet instead of someone more senior? He was moving up, not down or sideways, because he knew better than to give Adhem any information at all. Flavor's commander met him at the hatch and threw her arms around him. Laissa, Basil's sister, had the same dangerous energy as her brother. As Gunnar's chain of command went through his uncle, so Laissa's went through Gunnar's father.
You're coming with us.
Gunnar detached himself.
That's nice. Basil says to give you his love.
We'll fuel and go.
Gunnar nodded and went through the hatch ahead of her. In the next few hours, he briefed her on what he thought he had learned from Kaim and the more accessible data channels.
Here's what you don't know. There was a distant family member captured with Elias Madero, a young girl, Hazel Takeris. About 70 years ago, a Terrakian boy fell in love with the Chapapas girl.
A Greek?
Yes, from Delphi Duetti. Of course, both families disapproved, so they changed their names. They call themselves Takeris. Had lots of children, in defiance of everyone, including six boys, who continue the habit of defying parents by becoming perfectly ordinary merchant crewmen, who married late and had few children. This girl is the Terrakian boy's great-granddaughter. Her father was killed by the new text that bordered Elias Madero.
Gunnar listened, trying to find some connection with the news he'd brought from Kaim.
At the time we heard about the ambush, we didn't know that. The original connection's name was off our books. Then Aunt Herdion saw the news reports and thought the newsie had misspelled Terrakian. You know what she's like. She got on the comm all ready to chew bones. They gave her all the information they had, just to get her off their backs. Shortly after the rescue, when the newsies reported Hazel's survival, she barged into the remaining Takeris family discussion of Hazel's future and insisted on having a say. In fact, she was all set to adopt the girl herself. They're not too happy with her, but they're also not rich. So her offer to pay for Hazel's education sweetened the deal.
Yes, but what does this have to do with the rejuvenation drugs and rejuve psychosis?
Not much. But you need to know all that to understand some recent decisions by the family council. They hadn't paid much attention to your report from Zenebra about the new tech saboteurs there. But now they consider that the new tech forms a possible serious threat to Terrakian shipping specifically, because of the way we have been casual about picking up replacement crew. And because you and Basil caught that agent on Zenebra. There's also concern about spies in the shipping agent's staffs. They're convinced that the raiders knew about the Elias Madero's deviation from its filed flight plan.
I'd say half the merchanters who work in that area know about that shortcut.
No more. At least not Terrakian ships. We're restricted from anything but green-lined routes.
Oh, that'll put paid to our fast courier service.
Yes, but we won't be subject to piracy. At least not that kind of piracy.
So, what about this rejuvenation stuff? I still think we need to suck some data off the financial ansibles.
Laissa handed him several cubes.
We have. I'm not sure what it all means, though. That one's from Benedictus, and this one's from Cascadar 3 weeks ago. We'll suck it again on the way out.
Where are we going?
Where God and the Father's will. I haven't been told yet.
Gunnar settled down to data analysis. While the price of rejuve drugs had bounced up and down with every rumor of contamination or scarcity, the price of the raw materials had been growing, slowly at first, since the Patchcock mess. Somebody was buying the stuff in quantity. Rejuve drugs used some of the same raw materials as many other pharmaceuticals, but some were unique to that process. He highlighted them. The prices rose steadily. So, somebody was buying, and presumably using the raw materials to make the finished drugs, for which they had, or expected to have, a market. He kept digging, paused to eat, slept a while, and woke to Laisa's call.
We have the new squirt.
Gunnar rubbed his eyes.
And a destination? A beauteous one?
Marfolk.
Marfolk. An obscure world. He'd heard the name, but knew nothing about it.
How long?
8 days, about.
I'm going back to sleep.
But he didn't sleep. The new data he hadn't seen kept him awake. Finally, he rolled out of the bunk and punched it in.
You didn't tell me you intercepted the memo.
You were sleepy.
Not now.
It had been encrypted, but Flavor's systems were designed to handle all the standard commercial encryption schemata. Under the first level of encryption was another, as usual, simpler. The decryption machine made short work of that, too. Then, finally, the code. Gunnar looked at it and let his mind freewheel. Something about it looked familiar. Then it came to him. Consuline Senior Family Branch.
Laisa, do we have a code chip for Consuline Senior Branch?
Not on board. Is that what you think you've got?
Looks like it. We can start running it past the other chips, but I'm betting on that one.
Gunnar tipped his head one way, then the other. The Consuline memo looked almost readable as it was, but he knew that was deceptive. Nothing was ever that simple. Then the pattern popped out at him, as if someone had outlined words in red ink.
The Serrano Legacy, Change of Command, is continued on the next CD.